Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And today, I'm going to be talking with a guy who's been passionate about not just jewelry design, but creativity for his entire life. And even in retirement, this guy simply cannot be stopped from creating. Michael Kelsey closed his storefront in downtown Bemidji back in 2017. And after making original creations and selling those of his own, as well as other original creations from curated jewelers for 42 years, he is still creating jewelry. He might be tucked in his own little Santa's workshop at home, far from the busyness of downtown, but this guy just can't stop, won't stop. He's creating, and he's got a holiday event this weekend, and he's here right now to talk about his journey as an artist and what's happening on Friday. Good morning, Michael Kelsey.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, Maggie. Nice to be here. Thanks.
We're so glad you came in. So let's kind of rewind it. And you talked a little bit earlier about how you really live a creative, you have a lifestyle that is inspired.
I can't sit still. That is an issue in my life because I have too many things that I still want to accomplish. And it's anything from drawing and carving and sculpture to music. I'm not a TV person, as you might imagine.
Mm-hmm. So when did jewelry come into your life, the designing of jewelry?
There was a fellow by the name of Keith Malmquist, years and years and years ago in 1966, who was an art teacher here at BSU. And he got me fired up about it. And it was fun because I could make things that I could imagine. And there was another fellow by the name of Vanner Tangborn, an older than me now, rock hound that lives south of town. And he would, every once in a while, after I got to know him a little bit, give me a opal, because he was into opals. And he would give me a stone and say, "What can you do with this?"
Mm-hmm. So you design from scratch.
There's two ways to make jewelry.
Okay.
One is fabrication, which is you take existing round wire sheet, solder, saw, buffing, and the other is casting and carving. So that's like miniature sculpture. And it's one of my favorites because as a kid in grade school, one of my really bad frustrations with soap carving was it broke. And however, when you're carving wax, you have a hot pen that you can put parts back together. And so you can carve things, experiment, make them, and then burn them out overnight at 1500 degrees or 1400 degrees and put them on a vacuum table and pour molten metal. Have you ever seen molten metal?
Only on TV.
Oh, well, yeah. But
you
it's
know.
Beautiful. It's molten gold is the prettiest orange red that you could imagine. And it's liquid, so you can bounce it back and forth in a melt pot.
When you get it before it's molten, what does it look like?
Little BBs.
Okay.
Kind of, but not perfect. You know, just different. Different size little BBs, probably 2 millimeters, 3 millimeters at the most in diameter.
You were talking about how gold is a really wonderful material to work with.
Yes. As you finish a piece, either in silver and gold, it just gets smoother and smoother. And you feel it, not only do you look at it visually and judge it, but you feel it with your fingers to look for any imperfections, because you can feel, you can't see color, obviously, that way, but any imperfections, bumps, things that will snag for people, it's, you know, wearability, durability is all a major factor, because what else do you have on your hands or somewhere every day?
Right. I know that the story is that you were selling used cars at some point, or selling cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I worked for Dave Walters for a year and a half.
Okay. And then you realized jewelry is going to be my bag.
Yeah.
So tell me about that transition, and was it scary?
It was, because in 1972, there was a gas shortage, big time, and the American car market wasn't ready at all. Smallest car was maybe a Plymouth Duster six-cylinder, and along came Toyota, Honda, Subaru, with these little four-cylinders and three-cylinders, and they got good mileage, and they didn't cost $10,000. And so I went from selling, you know, 25, 30 units a month to one or two. At the same time, I had bought some tools, and I'd started making, I turned one bedroom into this mobile home we'd live in, into a little studio, and I was making things. Well, every time I'd make something, somebody want to buy it. And I thought, duh. What can you say? You know, I mean, and at that time I was down, I had gone from a regular car demonstrator and salary and commission down to $75 a week. And I was working 6 days a week. And so I thought, no, I can, there's something else. And so I thought, gee, to make that, all I've got to do is make like three rings or three pieces of jewelry a week, and I should be able to do that. So I sold the mobile home we were living in, and I bought more material and tools, and I moved to Turtle River and plugged holes in an old log cabin and turned the living room into a workshop and started doing art fairs.
Wow. So interesting, because in my mind I thought, well, that'd be more scary to quit your quote day job. But really, that wasn't even working for you.
No.
And this so was the ticket.
It kicked me into being, and I started on April Fool's Day. Hmm. So tying back into this upcoming little event, it's Friday the 13th with full moon.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure I can't go wrong. It worked on April Fool's Day.
Part of the 13th is a great day. I think it should
I
be celebrated.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it will be. It'll be fun.
I think so, too. How has your style changed since you started?
Oh, these styles or my style?
Your style.
Well,
I know you do a lot of commission work, too, original
right.
stuff for
people. What people want. Mm-hmm. People have images in their mind, and I try to translate that into a drawing and then into 3D and with stones. But there was a woman by the name of Monica O'Boyle who was from Sweden, and she had three nice pieces of Scandinavian jewelry. And I've always leaned that way because of the cleanliness and the design. And I remember just being kind of awestruck. John O'Boyle was one of my friends and teachers. I'd look at those and I'd think, wow. And the craftsmanship was really neat, how it went together. The designs were neat. So that was a strong influence in my life there. And then Fabergé was a Russian goldsmith designer that was incredible. And I started looking at the things that he made, and I was totally entranced. And I've gotten to hold a few of those things in my hand, which is pretty amazing because the craftsmanship, again, is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So I went along and did retail for 18 years. And Pamela, of course, was with me, which was pretty crazy. Then I started teaching for 11 years. I opened my own jewelry program and wrote the courses and things over at the Tech College, and did that for from 91 to 2002. And then Pammy ran the store, and I would go in the evening and work. Also and make things. And so it was a crazy time of our lives, but we had kids and insurance for health was real important, and that helped us a mm-hmm. lot. So, you know, you don't get ahead with just dreaming about things. You have to have some action.
Absolutely. Friday the 13th, you're having a sale. What kinds of things are going to be there?
Yeah, well, I think it's really neat because Hattie Peterson, who is starting to make some pretty dang nice jewelry, and she was a student of mine back in 96, and she's just kind of grown and grown and grown. So she does some really nice natural things, and so she's going to have a display with us. And then Sarah Linda. Now, what would you say if somebody came up and said, gee, you're going to have a little event here. How would you like some cake? Sarah Linda makes wonderful.
She's from Cake Bemidji.
Cakes, yes. Mm-hmm. And so she's going to be there with some samples. So I figure it's a win-win situation for me.
Okay. You'll have jewelry or earrings and baubles and bracelets and the whole gamut.
I have
rings.
Yeah, I have some things left from the store. Not many now. It's pretty much all gone. But I've been making things, and I've been concerned about having enough things made up in a variety. And Pamela looked at me yesterday and said, "You got to quit. You got to quit. You can't make any more stuff. I have to get this marked." And so that we can show it, and we have to figure out how to display it. And I'm going, oh, that's good, because my fingers are sore.
Right, you've been working so hard.
So I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a really fun event.
Okay, and it's at the Hampton.
At the Hampton, yes.
Friday.
Yes, from 11 to 7.
Okay.
On Friday.
You mentioned earlier you've been collecting stones pretty much your entire life, and you've been working with them all these years. Do you have favorites?
Ooh, solidified chemicals. Think about that. Yes, true. They're all, it's all chemicals, but they're solidified. And how dense they are makes the determination of how bright they are and how they're cut. So diamond is the brightest. That's the hardest on the Mohs scale. And the top five... And it's logarithmic scale, so it's each number is 10 times more. Diamonds are wonderful. They come in a variety of colors. They're totally wearable. They don't scratch. They don't break. They do a little bit, but not hardly ever. Opals are my favorite. I love opals. I think the magic of a rainbow is what we're talking about here, because it's opal is quartz silica with very fine layers of quartz, and then water molecules. That's what makes the rainbows. And to find an even, incredible color, well polished, it doesn't happen that often. It's and each one of them is different. I think that's one of the fun things about this whole endeavor that I've been on, is that different people, different materials, different designs. It's just really kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. And you deal with everybody. Being a jewelry designer, people tend to buy jewelry for their loved ones or something along
the
way.
And it's emotional. Jewelry's emotional. In the store, we would have Kleenex boxes, pretty handy, maybe 3 or 4 out in front in the store, because I knew that if I did a really good job in designing something and hitting and touching someone's heart, a lot of times they needed a Kleenex, which is pretty neat, because, first of all, I knew I did a good job. Secondly, I knew I used material that was emotionally important to them to construct something that they liked, which is really satisfying.
Yeah, it becomes intimate then.
Oh, yeah. They're not my customers. They're my friends in most cases.
That is Michael Kelsey. You can find him Friday at the Hampton Inn with an array of beautiful baubles and cake and Hattie Peterson.
Yes.
And a good time.
I think so.
All right.
It should be fun. Good view, too.
All right. Well, we're glad you're still creating. Thanks, Michael, for coming in today.
Thanks, you guys.
Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.